Hello and welcome to The Harsh Review with me, Ross McLeod, and Gordon Sr. Joining us this week is David to talk about the defeat to Ross County and the draw with Kilmarnock in the Premiership. We preview St Mirren and Livingston, chat a little bit about the new signings made on pre-contracts, and talk Scotland ahead of the European Championships this summer. Mixed results for Hearts over the past few weeks, Gordon. A 2-1 defeat in Dingwall and a 1-1 draw against Kilmarnock at home. Your thoughts firstly on the Dingwall result?
Well, I'm a bit surprised that you say mixed there. I mean, I would say it's just shite, to be honest with you. I mean, there's nothing mixed about that. It's a 1 point from games against two sides that are... in fairness, Kilmarnock have had a good season.
Kilmarnock are a good side.
A team second bottom of the league. Ironically, I predicted it, Ross. You know me, I'm pretty spot on, 99 times out of 100. And once again, I was right. I expected Hearts to get turned over up there, mainly because it is a Ross County team that had a lot to play for. And I feel like, when you're near the bottom of the league, sometimes these teams just pull out a shock result. And I think that kind of was one of them. Don't think we played well at all, to be honest. Don't think we set up very well. I just feel like you were too passive. We weren't great on the ball and we didn't create enough chances. And to be fair, you can kind of label that at us a few times this season. More at home than away, ironically. But yeah, it was a pretty poor performance. And I don't think we deserved anything from the game, really. You can talk about the Shanklin offside. For me, it's quite silly because he doesn't need to be standing there. Said it at the time. Don't know what he was thinking there. There's no one around him. He's not even really blocking the goalkeeper's view, but just to give the linesman and whoever was in VAR that made the decision an option to flag it off for offside. I just thought it was very, very poor. But summed up our day, summed up our performance, to be honest. And like I say, went back down the road with tails between our legs because we didn't deserve anything. But the only sort of positive I can look at it from a Hearts point of view is that Jan Danda was the best player in the park. And I thought he was at the heart of everything Ross County done well. And I look forward to seeing him in a maroon shirt next season.
Dave, do you share that overall view from Gordon that... we didn't really deserve anything out of that game.
Yeah, completely. I think it's one of those old-style Hearts performances we've seen away from home over the years that just kind of lacked any real conviction and any real quality. But again, we're kind of in that stage of the season now where we're kind of in a little bit of no-man's land and almost not really playing for much. So it's one of those results where I don't think it's actually much of a surprise. It's a surprise in the sense that's their first defeat there in 11 years, which is a little bit disappointing, considering we were on a very good run up there. But thankfully, we all missed it, so that's another one to add to the list of disappointments this season. Of course, most of the group were actually up there, so that's always enjoyable.
Ali Hill being the main one.
Well, exactly. Ali Hill really is making himself one of the biggest bogeys we've ever had in this. Not in the spring group, but probably throughout most of the Hearts support. So that man needs to stay away. Of course, he'll be at St Mirren this weekend, so that's disappointing. But no, look, it's a poor result. Of course it is. You shouldn't really be getting beat off a team down that bottom of the table. I know we've got no divine right to win any game, but that really should have been the game on paper that Hearts should be going and winning. And of course, they won already up there this season when Hearts were obviously markedly poorer than they were now. So it's one of those. It's frustrating. Obviously, in the grand scheme of things, it's probably not going to make a difference, touch wood. But yeah, it's still frustrating to go up to a team that's second bottom and really, probably for a large part, probably until 2-0 down, really never laid a glove on them. So I think that's the most frustrating thing. And no doubt Naismith will have been very frustrated by that as well.
Is the result against Kilmarnock just as frustrating, Gordon? Because there wasn't really a reaction as well. You would have expected us to win at Tynecastle.
I'm not sure I agree that there wasn't a reaction. I think I thought Hearts started the game really, really well, actually. But I think the biggest disappointment was when they went 1-0 up that they just didn't continue that, to be honest. I think that was my biggest frustration. I think first 10, 15 minutes, really well, how you'd expect us to start at home, particularly in a sort of bigger game. But then just became sort of passive and stopped doing things that we were getting success from in the first half. Particularly in the second half, I thought we were miles off it, which was the biggest disappointment for me. And, you know, you've gifted Kilmarnock away back into the game by doing that. I just felt the energy levels dropped dramatically. And we just stopped doing things that I thought we started the game doing well. But listen, it is what it is. It's a tough game. Kilmarnock still have a lot to play for. They're always tricky opponents, particularly at Tynecastle. They've got a good record there for some reason. And McInnes' stuffy side. Yeah. Look, I dropped before the game. It's not the end of the world, I suppose, particularly when you see St Mirren as well dropping points. So look, the gap remains at what it was. So not the end of the world, but yeah, I would have liked to have seen more from Hearts, particularly the way they started the game. You know, sunny day, full house, you just think, yeah, you know, this could be a 2-3-0, but unfortunately it wasn't to be, and Kilmarnock in the end deserved their point. But look, I don't want to see this season pitter out. That's almost the way it looks like it's going if you look at the last two performances. But, you know, they've got a semi-final on the horizon. They'll need to up it. You know, they'll need to be a lot, lot better. And that starts simply with the next two games. You know, you need 6 points from them. It's an away game at St Mirren. Tough side. But you want to kind of... You want to beat them and almost avenge that result earlier on in the season. You know, we've not won in our last two at St Mirren now. So we need to put that to bed. Those last three, actually. We need to put that to bed.
And Dave, how do we do that? What's needed from this Hearts team when they go to St Mirren on Saturday to get that result?
I think we need to start the game with a lot of energy. There's too many times when, especially away from home, and actually reminded me of earlier in the season at St Mirren, it was just so passive. Hearts are really, really bad. In recent, I would say in the last couple of seasons, I wouldn't say this season really in the grand scheme. But we have this ability, and I think it was actually shown at Ross County, where we just keep the ball for the sake of keeping the ball. And it reminded me a little bit of last season. Now, we've won 9 away games this season. It's our best return in, 20-odd seasons away from home. So you can't really chuck too much criticism at the team, really. But it's one of these games where you can just see that happen. St Mirren start out, they press high, they limit us to very little, and we just start doing that thing where we get frustrated, we pass the ball side to side, and then we eventually give it away. I think, judging on what we've heard from Naismith, firstly, I think that, like Gordon says, with a semi-final coming up, we can't be going into that with bad form. And obviously, we've only won one of our last 5. Of course, caveat that with a derby, Rangers away, and the one game we actually won, we still have to go home. So it's one of the most weird bits of form, but you can go into the next two prior to the semi-final. It gives people belief. And I think what Naismith should remind the team is that, you know, they're playing for a place in the semi here. You know, your place shouldn't be nailed on because you've done well in the last 30 games. If you don't play well in the next 5, you shouldn't be starting. Simple as that. So I'd like to think there's that kind of mentality bedding in there. And I think Naismith certainly will remind the players of that. And I think we just need to play with a little bit more risk. It can be too safe, as I mentioned before. And I think there was times, it was actually something I read an article today just about the runs that some of the mid-state especially was making kind of forward and directly through the middle, and players just weren't willing to play that pass for you know, in case it doesn't come off. And I think we all say it, and we all want to see it more. We'd rather the team had a go and lost than lose by not having a go. Of course you would, or even drawn without having a go. It's one of those, you'd rather see the team try and play attacking football and try and score goals rather than the classic score one and nick it and just sit back and take it, because it's not only is it shite to watch, invariably it never really comes off. So sometimes, you know, you do have to try and play with a little more risk. And I think St Mirren, they obviously are playing for top 6. They've got a lot more probably riding on the game than us. But I think in a way that should play into our hands. They should be coming out attacking. We've got enough pace now to get behind on the counter-attack and enough quality to get there. So I think you just need to play to your strengths and play as a team that should be going there playing to win. None of this playing for a fluky 1-0 and hoping for the best. We should be going there to win and playing like a team that wants to win. So that's what I want to see. Whether that happens, I don't know. Probably seen it too many times where I don't believe it'll happen until eventually it does, because we've seen too many of these performances, especially at St Mirren, as Gordon mentioned. We've got a pretty shoddy record there. I think I've actually only ever seen one win there in the flesh. And that was two seasons ago. I don't think we've won since, and certainly didn't have a great record prior to that. So, yeah, but it's one of those grounds, but I'd like to think that this Hearts team is good enough to get a result there, playing the way that they can and the way we've seen away from home this season. So we've just got to hold out. But as we've mentioned, we are in that kind of that position where it doesn't, we're probably going to peter out. And as Gordon mentioned, with the fact that it does happen a lot, I mean, I think it's the last few seasons, I think on average we pick about 4 points from post-split games, which is just unacceptable. But it happens more often than not. And when we had we've got the possibility of having our highest ever points total. And I think that again is another impetus that should be going through this Hearts team of being that team that's done it. But if it gets to a position where it's probably going to peter out, then it'd be another disappointing end to what could have been a fantastic season. So I think that'll be another frustration should we not break that points barrier, or at least equal it, when there was so much promise to do so.
It is quite frustrating that, though, Gordon. You know, every season we seem to have the same discussion about the club getting to a point in the season and then the season then petering out. Do you think that'll be the case this season?
Probably, Ross. It's what seems to always happen. You know, I almost think my season ends now in kind of March, really, to be honest with you. Yeah, I don't know, you know. It's funny because we said last season, you know, when it looked like this was going to go a similar way, and we were thinking, oh, it'd be nice to actually go into the split and have something to play for. Well, actually, it wasn't, because obviously we ended up fourth. But so I suppose we can't have it always. But yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one. I mean, it's interesting what David was saying there about the article with Tate. I think, I don't know if it was on Heart Standard or where it was, but I'm sure I've seen it as well. And I agree, actually, with what you're saying there. You know, I think Tate's a vibrant young player. He's a forward-thinking player. He's always looking for those runs. He's seen it a few times. Quality, I think, let him down a couple of times with his passing, but look, that'll come. I mean, the guy is only, what, 18, 19-year-old, starting his first game in the league. Clearly, he will get better, and there'll be more quality that comes with those passes. But David's saying, you know, players are not making runs. I think they're just too stupid and they didn't see the runs. I've said plenty of times that I think the IQ level in this group of players is very low, and I still stand by that, even because they have turned around, you know, performances and they're up to third. It doesn't necessarily mean that suddenly I'm going to backtrack on that. I 100% stand by everything I said there. I think there's a lot of dumbasses in the team. And maybe that's why he's signed, you know, guys like Blair Splittle and Jan Danda, who can actually see passes. And when you've got such a lethal finisher like Lauren Shankland, that's exactly what you want. I mean, even Vargas as well. You know, listen, I've been a critic of Vargas, but I think when you see he is quite young, I mean, look, he's got, I think, 8 goals now. If he can get himself into double figures, that's actually a pretty good return. And I'd actually be quite pleased with that, really, if he is able to get double figures. I mean, I think when I was criticising him last time, he was on something like 3 goals. But in fairness to him, he's certainly he's on a good sort of run of form. But the goal that Hearts actually scored against Kilmarnock there in the weekend, I think Shanklin's shooting there. I really do. I think he's going for the back post. But credit to Vargas, because he's read that and he's knocked it in. I think we've been guilty a few times of players just standing still in their own 6-yard box and the opposition 6-yard box and not going in, attacking and getting results. And I think, you know, credit to him for that. And that's what you want to see from these attacking players, is using your initiative and getting on the end of these types of either passes or shots and getting goals. And I still don't think there's enough players in the team that do it, unfortunately. But hopefully that'll change, and I'm sure Naismith sees that. And as we go into next season, hopefully, instead of sitting talking about, you know, drab 1-1 draws against Kilmarnock, we're talking about, you know, 2-3-1 victories, because we've had that extra bit of quality in the midfield or up front. I think we were just lacking that at the moment, unfortunately, because there's not a lot of options, really, when you go throughout the team, which is frustrating. I mean, who came on, really? I mean, it was good to see Barry Mackay back. You know, a fit Barry Mackay absolutely will do things for you. But in terms of midfield, you know, guys like Devlin and things like that, they're pretty box standard midfielders, really. You know, they're bang average, unfortunately. There's nothing special about any of them where you think, you know, them coming off the bench, they're suddenly going to win a game for you. Same, you know, when Oda has his moments, to be fair to him, but, you know, who else really have you got on the bench that you can bring on that's going to win a game for you? Not really a lot there, unfortunately, and I think that's just where we are at the moment. You know, plan A doesn't work. You know, there's not too many players really that can come off the bench and I think save things for you. Particularly when, you know, if a Vargas and a Forrest and Shankland are all starting. So we'll see. But yeah, I think at the moment the good thing for me is it looks like we're being proactive in those areas.
And that is a positive, Dave, that we are being sort of proactive in those areas, like Gordon says. And, you know, it probably helps the players that are currently there as well, because they know there's going to be competition for places next season.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been critical in the past, and rightly so, about how Hearts' transfer window usually ends up being a little bit of a mad dash, or it's one signing and hoping for the best that the players from the last season or the season before are still good enough. And football's not like that anymore. You don't have players not only in a team like Hearts that last for so long, but if they're not getting snapped up in 2 or 3 years, usually the reason is they're not good enough. So they don't end up being good enough to play for Hearts after that long. So yeah, exactly. We're signing from the right, they're signing the right players. We're signing from teams that are below us, but it is their best player, which I think is something that we know that the best clubs in this league do. Usually, as we've had the experience of having to us and Hibs and Aberdeen, it's good to see that we're being that club to the lower leagues in the league, lower teams in the league, sorry. Yeah, they're all in positions, like you say, that there is competition for. Danda, Spittle, you know, these are guys who creative midfielders who we don't really have. And not only should it be the boot up the arse for the players that are still there, it, like you say, it gives them, there's competition there that we know that should, you know, performances window, we've got options now and we've got more depth than we have had before. And it looked, obviously, with Europe coming up as well, we know that that hindered us 2 seasons ago. We didn't have enough depth, and when things started to, when shit hit the fan, it hit it pretty badly, and we ended up bottling it. So that's always good to see that there is more depth, and with the more games, and hopefully injury worries aren't so much of an issue. But yeah, it's something that we want to see more of. We've been crying out for this for so long from Hearts, from a proper structured transfer, like kind of transferred ideology almost of who we plan to bring in. And it looks like this has been kind of months in the making. Pre-contracts are always good as well, because you're not forking out as much for the good players. So yeah, it's what you want to see, but let's not suddenly say that Hearts are now on the right track. You know, well, the proof of the pudding will be in the eating here. So it's good to see on paper, but yeah, we'll see how they all plan out in 6 months. We'll no doubt we're slating them after a couple of bad games.
But they are good signings though, Gordon, aren't they? You know, good quality.
They absolutely are, Ross. I mean, I think Blair Spittle in particular, I'm pleased with that one. He's a player I really like, and I've seen him playing for Motherwell this season and last season, and I've always thought he's a really, really good player. And I just always wondered why, you know, none of the bigger clubs were ever interested in him. So I'm actually really pleased that we've seen that. We went for him. You know, I think creativity-wise, he creates a lot for Motherwell. I think everything that Motherwell create, and you've got to remember they've scored a lot of goals this season. I don't know if they've scored more than us, but they're certainly on par anyway. And I think the majority of their goals come through him, whether it's a key pass, whether it's an assist or it's a goal. And you've seen quite a lot of really good goals come from him this season. So I think he's a player that's in his prime. I think he's got the experience similar to what, you know, Shankland did. You know, he's played at this level, had to work hard in the lower leagues, fight his way up. I think they're the sort of signings that really you should look at, and why teams like Hearts, and you can even argue Hibs and Aberdeen as well, haven't really went for them previously, because I think they're tailor-made almost for this division, and in a better team with better players, you'll see them stand out. So him and Danda, I think, are very exciting young players. I don't know too much about James Penrice, to be honest. I haven't seen an awful lot. I watched the game on Sunday with Livingston and Celtic, but he wasn't in the squad, so I don't know if he's injured or what. But so it'll be interesting to see how he does. And you would imagine that he's going to come in and be the sort of the kind of main signing for the main replacement for Cochrane, but yeah, hopefully he can do all right. I mean, he's highly rated. Again, similar kind of background, been in the lower leagues, worked his way up. Apparently, he should really be playing at a higher level. So we'll see. Hearts will give him the platform, and hopefully he'll do all right.
And talking about the St Mirren game, Gordon, do you think it's a frustration that we've got such a bad record at Love Street?
I mean, it's not the worst record in comparison to other grounds, if we're being honest. I've seen a few wins there, but yeah, it's not great, Luke. You know, Naismith sort of obviously turned the tide away from home. We were beat there earlier in the season. We weren't happy chappies after the game. Rightly so, it was a pitiful performance. So it'll be interesting to see kind of if we went full circle and if we can go there and get a result and play well. I think it just depends on really. Well, St Mirren, I think, haven't secured the top six status yet. I was reading there that they were 22-1 to finish outside the top six, and there was quite a lot of St Mirren fans backing it, just because they've seen this story before. So it makes you think, well, Hearts go up there and just turn the screw a little bit. But Luke, you know, it's an interesting one. I'd like to see us win the game comfortably. I don't think that'll happen. I think it'll probably be a bit of a grind. But I think Hearts should certainly win the game, and hopefully they do. Because like I say, it's all about momentum heading towards that semi-final. Because that's really the biggest game of the season now. You know, you want to be looking forward to a cup final. You don't want to sit here and think, well, the only real cup final we've got is potentially a derby. And we've seen how we've performed in the last one. So, yeah, the last thing we want is the season pitting out, to be honest. You know, you want to have something to look forward to. And I think if we're going to get anything out of that semi-final, we've got to be at it. And we've got to use these next two games now as a platform to build on. Particularly the St Mirren game, you'd imagine that'll be the toughest game. I mean, I know Livingston will, you know, they're fighting for their lives, but realistically, if Hearts turn up, they should be able to wipe the floor with them. Although the last two games against them have only ended with Hearts winning by a goal. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting few weeks to see how they approach both games. Obviously, you might have players in the back of their head thinking, oh, I don't want to go in for this challenge in case I get injured, etc. But you can't have that mentality. You can't have that kind of... those types of feelings. You've got to go into it and think, look, we need 3 points here, let's get the 3 points. And as David says, you know, they've got an opportunity to I think to go and get a record and become the best Hearts side away from home in the league in many a year. So let's hope they can go on and do that, particularly when you think it's their last away game before the split. Go out and get there, get the 3 points, and then obviously you go to Kilmarnock, Hibs, and well, potentially Hibs or Dundee, and then Celtic in the split. So it's there's a tough few away games after the split. But if you've got a cup final to focus on, you're not overly bothered, are you? But be an interesting couple of weeks. So hopefully Hearts can go up there and get a result and end the season on a high, hopefully.
And obviously Livingston after that at home, David, we should take care of that one, although our home form has not been fantastic at Tynecastle, but Livingston are obviously bottom of the table.
Yeah, it's one of them. Obviously on paper you should be wiping the floor with them, never do that. Does that really happen with a team bottom of the league, especially Livingston with the terrorist football that they play, especially if we remember back in that midweek game when I don't even remember them coming out of their own box and I don't think they even had a shot at goal, so... Yeah, I mean, Martindale's got that in him. We actually have a decent record against Livy at home, actually, at the moment. So that should help in our favour. But, yeah, we should be wiping the floor with them. As we say, though, Livingston very rarely ever venture far at Tynecastle, especially in recent years. Martindale has that kind of, oh, let's go for the draw, even though we're 10 points away for safety. I'm sure he'd be delighted with that. Remember when they were clamouring for him to get the Rangers job. So, madness. Like you say, on the home form, it's interesting. I was actually reading today, we have the fourth best home form in the league. Of course, you expect the Old Firm to be there. Killie's there as well. But we've only actually lost three games at home this season. It's the draws that have been our pitfall. Five draws at home. I mean, you think of the five draws, two derbies, one of which shouldn't be out of sight. Drew with Kelly twice there. And that actually, I think the first, the 0-0 start of the season, we probably should have got beat. I didn't think we were very good at all. And then the Ross County one, which again, denied a clear Stonewall penalty that we went 1-0 up and we had chances to win it. So those are the kind of differences. I think in another season, we actually end up winning those games, but we probably end up going, well, having a lot worse away form. So, yeah, weird. But again, we should be getting our ninth home win there this season. Again, we should be getting double figures, both home and away, in terms of wins this season, which would be a great return. Beat the 20 wins, which I think would be the first time in God knows how long. I don't actually know the stats on that. But yeah, I'd quite like to go pre-split and, of course, pre-semi-final the week before. I'd like to see us actually pump a team. We've not really done that this season. We've had a lot of good wins, but we've never really battered a team. You know, we've not got that marquee 4 or 5-0 where you'd really go, that was a proper Hearts performance at home. I think it'd be one of the perfect fixtures to do that.
We've only scored 3 goals twice this season.
I know. And one of them we had to come for 2-0 down.
Fucking pish.
I know. You can't say it's been pish when we keep winning all these games 1 or 2-0. Yeah, okay, it's not exciting. I know you can and you will. It's not exciting, but we always say it, you know, you're not arsed if you get results. But obviously, I think at that time of the season, when you should be able to play a little bit with the shackles off, especially when third is all but done and the semi-final's coming up. There shouldn't really be any worry about that. And we know Livingston are so poor, and lots of teams have you know, picked them off at home this season. So, I mean, look, Hibs were 3-0 up against them inside 18 minutes 2 weeks ago. So there shouldn't be any worries there if Hibs can do it. And they're pish, then I'm going to be funny. There shouldn't be any reason Hearts can't do that. But we'll see.
Yeah, it's quite a frustration, the home form, though. You know what I mean? It's an interesting sort of... I know we're fourth, but we usually do so well at home. So it's an interesting one this season. But is it not testament that we're getting these results, especially away from home, Gordon, to the manager? I mean, we've really not got the players there. And he's found a way to win these games.
Yeah, it's quite industrial. I think, you know, prior to the Celtic game, I don't think we had seen a home goal at our end in the first half. And I can't remember when it was. I think it was like St Mirren or something like that. It's a bit frustrating. But like you say, I suppose we can't complain too much. We've got the results. And certainly when you see Aberdeen struggles this season and even Hibs's as well, you think to yourself, yeah, do you know, they've got the jobs done. Hasn't been the prettiest to watch, but hopefully with the European money next season, you know, we can maybe start to see a more exciting style of play and, as David mentioned, start to give teams real doings. I just don't think Hearts look like they're going to give a team a doing at the moment. I don't think they're playing well enough to think, I think we're going to give someone a doing here. I don't see that at the moment. I think that we're quite laboured in our play. You know, we don't pepper teams. We don't, you know, hit 10 shots in the first half and think could be 3-4-0 up here quite easily. As I said, I think we're quite industrial in our play. But look, it suited us, I suppose, so far this season. We'll see how we get on when we go into the semi-final, because that's going to be the biggest test.
Yeah, and on that semi-final, David, does that result against Celtic sort of give you a wee bit of hope ahead of the semi-final?
Yeah, it does. But I'll probably have my hope diminished when Rangers turn them over in the Old Firm next weekend, or this weekend coming. Because I think we've seen this season Celtic are actually there to be had. They're not as good as last season, far from it. They're quite fragile. And you've seen that, you know, all it takes is Callum McGregor missing and they look like a lost team, especially away from home. So, yeah, I mean, I certainly think if we get to the final, then I'd like to think that we have the ability to be both. Aberdeen are horrendous. I honestly cannot fathom a Hearts Aberdeen final. I just don't want it. Don't want them to be able to beat us and then get European football again. I'd rather just no go. Wouldn't be worth it. So yeah, the semi final. What is that one? It's Rangers. We've never beat Rangers in our history at Hampden. Will it happen this year? Probably not. But can a man dream? No. I didn't see it, but Lord loves a trier. you've got to think that this is the best opportunity we'll have in the sense that this Hearts team is probably the best it's been since we came back up. Obviously, you could probably say that the Rangers team is probably as good as it's been since we came back up. But I'd like to think that Clermont's run has got to end. They can't. I still don't see Rangers win a treble this season. I don't see it. But that's probably going to probably come in the form of them bottling the league and not bottling the Scottish Cup. So I think that's my only worry about that. But yeah, that'll be a good day.
Here's hoping. Gordon, do you sort of share that view? I don't know if you were shaking your head at the game that you're watching or the question. Do you think we've got a chance against Rangers?
Tarkowski missed an absolute sitter from about 6 yards there, to be honest with you. It was a pretty poor header.
No, and I'm fuming because really. I backed Everton minus one tonight. I've seen the light that you, the fact you weren't there. And you've won the ages, I thought.
Yeah. had a sicket as well, but couldn't get away from work. So yeah, probably will win 3-0 or something. But should have been 1-0 up there anyway. But no, I was shaking my head, not just at that, at more at and if we because we beat Celtic, do we think we have a chance against Rangers? I don't know. I just think Rangers have our number, unfortunately. Well, you never know. I think best hope is to get someone sent off, and they start to bottle it that way. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm trying not to think about it too much. I'm getting quite. I'll just wind myself up and I'll delude myself into. And I think we're going to win. Thankfully, Matty's not going to be there because, you know, he was the man that really pissed me off last time. You know, he sucked me in and believed that we were going to win at half time. When I seen him, he thought, this is it, blah, 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 blah. Gave me the big speech and I thought, yeah, we are going to do it. And then, yeah, look, 2 minutes later, goal, 1-0. Then, yeah, look, 2 minutes later, 2-0, and 3-0. And then it was back to the bus. And I can't be arsed with that again. So that's why we're taking the train this time. And at least if we are getting absolute leathered, it's we're not having to sit on the supporters' bus and wait for everyone else. We can just leave.
That's true. And the day before is obviously Calvin's wedding, so I think we'll be a bit worse for wear going on that train, won't we, Gordon?
Yeah, we will be. Oh, for fuck's sake. No, I mean, yeah. Well, I think we will be. I think we'll be struggling a wee bit. But thanks to by playing the 3 o'clock kickoff.
Exactly. Definitely will have saved us a little bit. Before we end, I know yous are both off to Germany to watch Scotland in the Euros. Are yous a bit apprehensive considering the form Scotland have been in the last few? Last few games, I mean, the defeat to Northern Ireland came as a bit of a shock, Dave. I think you were there, if I'm right in saying.
Yes, unfortunately, I had the misfortune of, you know, wasting my time. I mean, I was kind of convinced we were going to bottle it anyway over there. So, this, if anything, this has kind of just cemented that opinion for me. What I will say is that if we were going to lose two shitey games, I'd rather lose them now than in the groups. But no doubt Clark will stay with the same duds that he always picks in the back five that, you know, can't get a game for their own team, or pick guys that don't get games for their own team, but they played well against Spain a year ago, so they must start every game and then we'll lose. And then no doubt he'll blame somebody else, or he'll blame, I don't know, some cunt that didn't start, or he's always got something up his sleeve. But he's got us to a Euro, so we can't criticise him.
You know, I'm sick of bald fraud managers. You know, Newcastle have just went 1-0 up and it's time for Dyche to go. But I think Clark needs to join them, to be honest with you. It's just sick of it. Football. Don't know why I bother. But no, it's... I thought Scotland were poor, to be honest with you. I thought Holland they played quite well for about 70 minutes and then they went 2-0 down and they just chucked it. And I think there's a real kind of, I don't know what it is with the defence, and I don't know, some of these changes were a bit weird. But the way it set up in the Northern Ireland game was embarrassing. It really was. I mean, it was so negative and passive. You knew the way that they were going to set up. They were going to be stuffy and hard to beat, and I just don't think we give ourselves the best possible chance. How he's left Shanklin on the bench, I'll never know, by the way. It only gives him, what, 10 minutes of that game, and he created more chances in that 10 minutes than Dykes did for the 75 minutes he was on the park. So again, he's another one with an attitude problem, actually. He loves picking his favourites. Reminds me of our previous manager, to be honest with you. And he always sort of seems to make the same mistakes. But I don't know. I don't see Scotland getting the group. I was previously kind of a little bit optimistic, but after watching Germany beat France, I just thought, nah, not happening. And the Swiss will take care of us as well. And you never know, we might be hungry, but I think they're taking an absolute army over with them as well. So you would imagine they'll be wanting to win that for their hordes of fans. But look, at the end of the day, I'm going to be drunk, and I'm also a big World War II buff, as you know, Ross. So I've got many trips planned to various sites. So very much looking forward to that. So the football, really, for me, will take a backseat.
Before we end, we'll do the predictions for the two games coming up. We'll start with you, Dave. St Mirren, your prediction?
1-1.
And Gordon, I'll press you for a prediction.
0-1 Hearts.
Oof, oof. And Livingston at home, gents?
I'll say 3-0 Hearts.
Oh,
0-1 Livingston. Nah, I'm kidding. I'll go with 3-0 as well.
3-0, will we finally get over two goals?
Yeah.
Just.
Well, that's what we want to hear. Thank you for joining me this week. Hopefully we do get two wins, one on the road against St Mirren and one at home against Livingston. Till next time, goodbye.